Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the So So Show.
Who would have thought that we could get this far, huh?
I know, right? Our attention spans, probably maybe episode 5 and that would have been it. It's a podcast especially for the city of Southampton with her, Zoe Hanson.
And him, Simon Clark. And do you know what? That's why we've reached episode 20. Because we love this city.
Yeah.
If you love it and you listen to this podcast, pass it on. Look, I make no bones about it. We want more people listening to this podcast, right? And finding out what's going on around Southampton. And the more that we know about what you're doing, the more that we can tell everybody else about it.
This week on the podcast, Will Cope from Southampton Solent Uni will be talking about the return of students to the city, how it's going to be different for them. And Zoe visits the Garden Society and proves that she's not really the outdoor type.
Sorry, I've got to get a fly off my foot. It's very outdoorsy.
My favourite bit in the interview is where you describe your garden. It's like you're the female Ernest Hemingway.
Well, you know I am. You know, I'm very green-fingered, you know.
Your descriptive powers are second to none. I can imagine him doing an eye roll as you were telling him about it.
Do you know what? He was really nice about it and very kind.
So it's been quite a week, hasn't it? It's been a bit of a roller coaster for so many people because of the news that we are entering a potentially 6 months of restrictions.
Yes. And I think the biggest one for most people was the 10 p.m. closing of pubs and bars and restaurants. Now, lots of people have complained about this and said, I'm not complaining. This is the alarm that I have wanted for years of my life. This is the go home alarm for Zoe that my friends have wanted, that bar owners have wanted for years. For years I've said, I wish there was some sort of alert that came on my phone that said, okay, it's time to go home now. You've had enough.
What we need now, though, is a mandatory national crisis bedtime. Teeth done by 10:40, light off at 10:44. No, you can't have a glass of water. You should have thought of that before you went to bed.
I love that.
Everyone's tucked in by 10:45. Because the thing with closing the pubs at 10 is people will just go back to their homes. And so many people are now set up for gatherings in their home because they've built bars in their garden.
Yeah. Like everybody got a load of pallets, didn't they? When we were in proper lockdown, everybody bought pallets and made their own bar. I mean, it's just a sort of table made out of bits of wood, isn't it?
No. Anyone who's built a pallet bar will tell you it's far more than that. And then they'll have shown you about 60 pictures on their social media as well.
Of course. And look, some of them have gone all out and they're very good. They've got their own coat of arms and I don't know what else. I could never be bothered with it. You know, even if I built a bar in my garden, I'd still think, oh, I can't really be bothered to take the drinks out there now.
Patio heaters are going to sell like nothing now we're heading into the autumn, if you want to make the most of your pallet bar in the garden.
Yeah, but this rule of six, you know, like you have to think about it constantly. So the only time I don't is in the playground. But somebody invited me round for a cup of tea the other day and they said that they had that the children would all be there. So that was great because, you know, they'd all have somebody to play with. And I counted it up and I went, that's 7. We can't do that then, can we? It's just a constant game of counting to 6.
It just seems to be so inconsistent with you can't do this, but you can do that. And you can't do this, but you can do that still.
If you lived on the Wales-England border, you could sort of go to one side or to one country for one thing and then go to another country for, and you know, you're just crossing over the Severn Bridge to make sure that everybody sees each other.
Have they still got a toll on the bridge or is it lifted yet? I know the plan was at some point they were going to take that away.
Oh, yes. It's gone about a year ago. It went and it got up to like getting on for a tenner or something to get across the bridge.
I haven't been across the bridge for a couple of years. It was about £7, I think, last time I went, which was always really inconvenient in terms of change because I never had it.
And they never took a card. What?
With everything being cancelled, there is one event which is still going ahead and the people of Winchester are so lucky that their November tradition is going to continue. You know, they have that big fireworks display on North Wall's Rec.
Oh, it's amazing there, isn't it? I've hosted it a few times. You have as well, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. Last year, in fact, they get about 23,000 people in for this fireworks event. It's huge. And obviously with COVID, they can't do that, but they have decided they're going to do something else instead. Okay. It's going to be socially distanced, and they want you to party at home within your bubble, and there are still going to be fireworks. So what they're going to do at 7 p.m. on Saturday the 7th of November is have three epic firework displays happening simultaneously at three secret and private locations across the city. Right. So wherever you are, you should hopefully be able to see some of the fireworks. Their aim is to cover as much of Winchester in fireworks as possible.
Oh, hooray.
So it won't be the big display. It'll be three reasonably big displays. And whereas they can't do the torch procession like they normally do, they want people to buy the torches the way they normally would do and then just wave the torches in their gardens.
Amazing.
Or just hold their phones up. And they're going to use drones to fly around the city and capture all the images of people with their torches or their phones. It's still going to be an event, but it's obviously going to be a socially distanced one. And it's going to raise money for the various charities that they support, which this year, after COVID, are more in need of support than ever before. So it's great that they're still raising money for a good cause. It's great that they're still being able to offer a spectacular.
But there won't be the big bonfire. That massive bonfire, they can feel the heat in Romsey.
Do you know why they can't do that? As well as COVID, it's because there aren't any pallets left in Winchester because people have been using them
They've
all to
all
make
made bars.
So you can find out more at winchesterbonfire.co.uk and please support them because they're really going all out to make sure the city has something to celebrate on the 7th of November in the evening. Right, let's get our first guest on, and it's Sam Baker of the Garden Society. They've noticed a real increase in interest in gardening since COVID arrived.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that everyone's been at home more and looking around and making the most of their home space, and you know, with the beautiful weather we've had, really been getting outdoors, and although they've been trapped in their own space, they've been trying to make the most of it.
Garden centres were able to open in May. What you've got is not a sort of traditional garden centre. Tell us about the Garden Society.
It's more of a kind of a living and lifestyle concept space. So we encourage people to, you know, bring the outdoors in and look at what they're doing in their own living space. But it's focused around traditional gardening and home and entertaining.
So what have you found have been like the sort of big sellers? Is it sort of simple gardening things?
Absolutely. I mean, all the core things at the beginning, people coming back out, you know, compost was the new toilet roll. We just couldn't get enough of it and there wasn't anything available. So people were, you know, kind of at the door looking for all those gardening essentials.
So look, I'm very lazy, to be fair. My garden is grass and then there's a bush and there's a couple of dead flowers somewhere. What would you say to me would be, right, okay, that's the thing that you need to go and get, Zoe?
Well, I think that, you know, we try and cover all aspects. So if you want something really simple and low maintenance, we've got everything from, you know, artificial stuff. So it looks great and looks the part, but you don't have to do any work or any care at all. But actually, we've been trying to encourage people to, you know, get a bit green fingered this year and make the most of their space, whether it's a small container or a balcony space that they've got, you know, just trying to be creative and make something really visual and exciting.
And the other thing that you have here at the Garden Society is the most wonderful restaurant. You put so many ideas in there and there's all sorts of wonderful things. Tell us about it.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess the Orangery is kind of the hub of the Garden Society, and it's, you know, been the central part of it, and everything we've done we've built around, whether it's afternoon tea or just coming for a coffee and cake or now for our bar as well. So, you know, not being able to operate that has been really tough. So to reopen, we repurposed that as a deli and a takeaway so we could offer our food offering for people to take out, you know, and enjoy outdoors.
And your cake option, what would you go for?
Favourite cake for me, oh, we got a really good lemon and blueberry cake. Yeah, but the chocolate, and we have a vegan option, we have everything covered.
So last December, we did come to Santa's Grotto down here, and it was amazing. It's a walkthrough experience, isn't it? How are plans for that coming along this year?
We have spoke to Santa, and all's good in the North Pole. So we're trying to work out ways that we can bring everybody in and have a really exciting time, but obviously keep everybody safe and following all the restrictions and any challenges that come along.
Let's have a conference. Boris, Santa, the Garden Society.
Perfect. I think that we need to... Obviously, Santa's keen to see everybody, and we're keen to host that again, as always, here. But we just need to work out how we can make sure everyone feels comfortable. The most important thing for us is to make sure that our team and all our people that come to see us feel comfortable and can enjoy it. So we're just figuring that out now. And as always, what we do here is try and be really creative and push the boundaries of what people expect.
And I know that you've got some really exciting things happening, but shh. It's a secret, right?
Yes, it's a secret. We're slowly starting to tease this idea out. It's something that we thought about over lockdown, and it's certainly been inspired by that. And we're thinking of kind of new ways that people can come and enjoy outdoor space, and it's something that we're hoping to launch really soon.
Will you tell us first?
Absolutely, we'll invite you back, and you can come and let us know what you think.
Sam Baker from Garden Society. And am I right in thinking this is where R2 used to be?
Well, yes, that's it. So Sam used to work there, and he used to look after the fish.
Right.
but he's multi-talented and multi-skilled, and after years of working there, they took it over. Him and his partner took it over, and... Oh, the place is just stunning, absolutely stunning. If you've never been to the cafe down there, I don't think you can call it a cafe. It's a restaurant, and it's amazing.
The breakfasts in there used to be incredible. I'm sure they probably still are, but I haven't been for years. And who knew that compost was the new toilet roll?
Right, exactly. I love that. That's so funny.
A bit later on the podcast, we'll be chatting to Will Cope, who is from Southampton Solent Uni. They're looking forward to having the students back to the city, although it's going to take a slightly different form this year because of COVID. And he'll explain more about that a bit later on.
I have the best Jackie Stallone story for
okay.
you. So unfortunately, Jackie Stallone, age 98, passed away this week. And bless her, look, we all know her from, Becky, right? when she walked into the Big Brother house. Jackie Stallone read my bum.
What?
I told you it's good, right? Jackie Stallone read my bottom.
Okay. When did that happen?
Okay, so she'd just come out of the Big Brother house, and I was working up in London on Capital, and we had her in as a guest. She was hot property. If they'd have offered us Sylvester Stallone or Jackie Stallone, we still would have gone with Jackie, right?
Right.
So she came into the studio, and we did an interview with her. Now, what she does is she's the sort of...
She's a rumpologist.
She is a rumpologist. So some people read palms... Jackie Stallone read bums. And she read my bum.
Did you know in advance that that was going to happen?
No!
So you hadn't even, made sure you had some top quality pants on that day?
You don't have to, take your clothes off to do it. It's all right.
Oh, okay.
It just sounds completely wrong. I leant over a desk and she put her hands on my bum cheeks.
Which, to be fair, has happened quite often on a night out. But this time it was someone famous who was touching it.
Yeah, it was.
So what did she say about your bum?
Do you know what? I can't remember. And I think I was so shocked that somebody was trying to read my bottom, my derriere, that I wasn't listening to what she was actually saying.
Was there any element of truth whatsoever in what she said?
I think she put her hands on my bum and said, okay, you work in radio, and...
Really? You can tell that?
From being in a radio studio?
But what was she like when the mics were off?
Oh, she was just really sweet. She's really lovely.
That's nice. I always like to know, because some stars can be, really hard work. But clearly she wasn't.
I don't know that there are many that are hard work, that have reached sort of the higher heights of stardom. They all seem to be pretty good, and they know how to conduct an interview. They know how to sort of welcome people, and, if they give you a hug... then, that's really lovely in the beginning. And it just breaks down all those barriers straight away, right?
So if you had to say who was nicest, Stephen Mulhern or Jackie Stallone?
Oh, no. Oh, I'd still go Stephen Mulhern because I just love him.
If you missed our Stephen Mulhern story, by the way, it's in last week's edition of the podcast.
And he didn't put his hands on my bum.
So what else have you been up to this week?
Also this week, I did meet another superstar. So there's my little mate, Sal, who works down at the blood donation centre at Southampton Hospital. And she's such a little star. She comes over, she has a little chat, and she's just so sweet. And we got told off because I think we were laughing too loudly.
Oh, yeah.
She was telling me about when people give platelets, so they take them out of the blood. When it comes out, it looks like a little bag of wee. She said, apart from if they've been eating cheese or Pringles, apparently they've got so much fat in them that when they take the platelets out, it looks like a bag of custard.
Oh, wow. That's grim.
Little insight there into my giving blood trip. But I do love giving blood, and you know what the treat is. It's salt and vinegar crisps afterwards and an orange club biscuit.
Time for our next guest on the So-So Show this week, and it's Will Cope from Southampton Solent Uni, where they're really looking forward to having the students back.
This is my most favourite time of the year. Universities are all about having students. When there's not students round, they kind of feel a bit empty and a bit weird. A bit like when you've grown up and you've used to having your kids in the house, and when they're not in the house, the house feels empty. It's slightly tempered this year, of course, by the fact that there are fewer people around because the university has said that unless the teaching needs to take place on campus, it must be taken place online. So that's a little bit of a shame. But I love being in this environment. I love working with young people. I love being pushed by them. I think it keeps you young. It keeps you young at heart. I mean, I'm not old. I'm not an old wrinkly or anything. Yeah, I love being able to pass on some nuggets of information for the next generation.
The students are coming back. They'll come back in the next few weeks, won't they? And what do you think are going to be the main differences that they can see? When they come into the actual university buildings, what will they find there?
So this week is Freshers Week, so we're midway through Freshers Week. So the new intake of first years are around and about the city now. We start teaching them with their timetabled classes next week. And then the second and third years and master's students, we start teaching at the beginning of October. So we've had kind of a staggered start, which normally we don't do. So that's change number one, that we're giving more focus initially to our new intake of students. A second different thing is obviously the fact that you've got to move around the university in a certain way. Certain corridors are one direction.
Certain staircases are very most definitely on an upward. You can only go up some staircases and down some others. And it took us approximately half an hour to walk 2 metres in this building, didn't it?
And that's another thing. Students are going to have to learn to build a little bit more time into their schedule. So not just, you know, legging it in at 5:02 because they've got to go halfway around the building to be able to get where they want to be. So, yeah, so some corridors are going to be one way, some staircases are going to be one way. Rooms are obviously going to be limited in terms of the numbers of people that could be in there. Lifts will be one person, this sort of stuff. There will be lots of points to clean your hands, the sanitising points, obviously the use of face masks, which for me was a particular issue this morning, given that I dropped mine in a puddle coming in. So there's lots and lots of a little different things. And clearly students are going to come into this environment when they do come in and realise that there's not going to be as many people around. The place is going to feel less busy because most people are encouraged to stay away unless they can do. And also little things like if you want to go into the library, rather than just rocking up, you've got to book a place.
Wow. Has there been any less uptake in university places because of COVID?
It was really interesting because we genuinely did not know what we were going to have in terms of student numbers. There were all sorts of doomsday predictions about how most students were going to be deferring and would be coming to university in September 21 instead. Problem with that, though, of course, is what are you going to do if you're 18 or 19 and you want to go to university? What are you going to do for 12 months then? If you defer, what are you going to do? Oh, I'll go travelling. No, you can't. Oh, it doesn't matter, I'll get a job. You can't. So what are you actually going to do for 12 months? Because if you know what it's like, if you get off the cycle of doing things, if you get off the cycle of studying, of working, it's that much more difficult to get back in. And I was saying that to a good number of applicants who wanted to be students but were a little bit, I don't know which way to turn. I said, look, you've got to do what you want to do. Go with your gut, go with your heart. Don't do anything that you don't feel you want to do, but have a plan. If you don't have a plan, if you can't tell me what you're going to do for 12 months, you know, come to university. Certainly on the sports journalism degree here at Solent, we've had a good intake. We've had just under 50 sign up to the first year, which is fantastic.
So how is Freshers Meet going to be? You know, because always it's, you know, we hear these things about going out and round the bars and round the city. And then there's Freshers Fairs where, you know, all the sports teams are signing everybody up and there's free pizza. And
yeah, I don't think the free pizza will be on this year, that is for sure. The Freshers Fair is still taking place. The sports fairs are still taking place, albeit, again, goes back to what we were saying, you've got to book your place, you've got to click on the Eventbrite link. There's only 120 per session, so, you know, it's socially distanced, they're reducing the numbers, but they are still taking place. But sport, because it's organised sport, can still take place, but Freshers Week is clearly different. I mean, you know, rather than, you know, a load of students going from bar to bar to bar, it might be a little bit more... what's the phrase?
To the bar.
Or maybe drinking.
Book a table.
To the bar and stay there until 10 o'clock, but yeah. no drinking after 10. And I also read a study from a Canadian academic the other day about, you know, how students, obviously in Freshers Week, they get to know one another. But I was reading that it brought a smile to my face because they were saying about how, you know, maybe rather than having relations with other people, you should possibly think about having relations with yourself. And I thought, oh, okay, well, that's a very interesting comment to come away with. I have no idea what this academic meant, of course. Look, the whole year is going to be a little bit different. Yeah. Certainly the events that we usually put on for Freshers Week have been online, rather than sticking them in a radio studio, sticking them in front of a TV camera, sticking them in front in a press conference and getting people in, getting people in from industry and alumni and what have you. We've had to do it all online, which is a bit more dry. It's a bit more bland. It's slightly less engaging. But, you know, you do what you can. You have the parameters. You've got to work within it. You have the tools. You do the best that the tools allow you to do. You try still to try and get that passion for the course, the content, over, and you say to them, look, okay, it might well last this year, but this thing isn't going to last forever, and we're still going to be able to help you hopefully get the job of your dreams.
Yes, well, that is absolutely fantastic. Can I ask you one last question? What is it you love about Southampton?
There's a lot of things I love about Southampton. I'm not originally from Southampton. I love the ability to be able to go and see the water. There's obviously that misconception that people that are not from Southampton think Southampton's on the coast. And I say, it's not on the coast. It's on the apex of two major rivers. And they go, what does that mean? And I say, well, basically, it means that you don't really have the beaches. But hold on, I thought you go to the beach, take the dog for a walk. Or well, yeah, I do, but it's a kind of a river beach. And look, don't worry about it. But I love the ability to be able to go and see the water on a daily basis. You know, I love the fact that Southampton is a city, but actually it's really, I think of it as a large town, and it has that town sort of feel, not in a negative sense, but in a sense that you're never too far from anything. There's lots and lots of things I love about Southampton. I'm certainly in no hurry to ever move away from it. I've lived here for 17 years, which is almost as long as I lived the place where I lived when I was growing up. But I very much consider this home, and I think I always will consider it home.
That's Will Cope from Southampton Solent Uni on the return of students to the city.
Last week, you know, I said about going to the Ladies' Day that was supposed to be for the boat show, but the boat show got cancelled. And we were all a bit nervy that Ladies' Day might get cancelled as well.
Yeah.
But because the wonderful people at Grand Cafe made sure that it was COVID secure, it was tables of six, it was just like going to the pub, right? We had the most wonderful Thursday there. The sun was shining. It was like the last week of summer. And We all had such a brilliant time. I played Blingo.
Okay, how's that work?
Bingo for champagne.
Okay.
They'd worked it out, so they had the staff serving us in Grand Cafe, and then we all went across to Banana Wharf, where they had all the tables set out in the same way. But the staff that had served us in Grand Cafe also came over and then served us at Banana Wharf. Isn't that genius thinking?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Doesn't it just? And when we went over to Banana Wharf in Ocean Village, they had a brilliant saxophonist. They had DJ Pete Devereaux playing as well. I mean, it was proper like Ibiza Sundowners. It was absolutely wonderful.
Sounds like you had a really nice time.
It was very good. And I was most appreciative of my neighbour who picked up my little one from school. The teachers would not have appreciated me.
No, although that dress you were wearing looked pretty nice.
The dress that I was wearing, thank you so much for that. The dress that I was wearing, it was quite low cut, but it had a little sort of stitch in the middle to keep it together where my boobies are.
Okay.
And after a couple of Proseccos, I got a little bit more animated and popped the thing.
Oh, no.
Again. I mean, like I always... It always happens to me.
But you were in the company of women, so it wasn't that bad.
No, exactly. So I got a little lanyard, a Grand Cafe lanyard, and wore that for the rest of the day. Like a big medallion. One of the other restrictions, and I feel for you, Simon, from this week, there are no indoor team adult sports. So I'm feeling for you because I know how much you love your synchronized swimming.
I know.
And the fact that you've got 10 in your team is, I'm gutted for you.
Yeah, we're going to have to draw lots on who can't do it. And we're going to have to come up with a new routine and all those other things. You know, it's heartbreaking. Someone's going to have to miss out.
Oh, no, sorry. But you'll keep your flowery hat on as your captain, right?
I'm going to keep it on whether I'm in the pool or not. And of course, for football clubs too, there was that glimmer of hope last weekend when some of them trialled having fans in the stadium. But it just seemed a bit strange to me because listening to the news on Saturday last week, the start of the bulletin was talking about how there were going to be new restrictions announced on Monday and stuff's going to start closing down again. And at the end of the bulletin, they were talking about how football clubs were having fans in, and it was completely contradictory, but you knew it was only going to end up going one way.
Yeah. And look, we've just got to be really thankful. I try and keep positive in these times. We've got to be thankful that football is on at all.
Absolutely.
Right? Because remember when there was nothing happening. So let's just look on the bright side of it. You know, people planning the Christmas that they've always wanted without their in-laws. Some people are very happy with the rule of six.
But you know what the downside of this Christmas is?
Why?
Despite COVID, there's probably still going to be a Mrs. Brown's Boys Christmas special.
You're either one side of the fence or the other.
It's certainly going to be a different Christmas this year. Do you think they'll have toilet roll back on the shelves by the time we get to December?
I mean, look, hilarious. I went to Hedge End this week. They had no toilet rolls in. Somebody was telling me that there was in front of them in the queue was a lady that had two packs of 16 toilet rolls. Why is everybody going mad again? The shops are not shutting. You're fine. This is all right. We know how to deal with this.
Did we learn nothing last time that if you just go out and panic buy, it means the shelves are empty for longer, whereas if you just continue buying at the normal rate, there's no problems.
I'm very much panic buying Viscount biscuits now. I'm just trying to start a new trend. What else could we panic buy right now? I'm panic buying sausages.
Well, we need to go and buy shares in it first. Something that's going ahead despite COVID, we must mention this quickly. Next weekend in Winchester, Wessex Cancer Trust are going to light up Winchester. They've got their Starlit Trail. It's the first physical event they've organised since lockdown. It's Friday, the 2nd of October. They'd love you to sign up for a sponsored 5K socially distanced walk to support local people living with cancer. If you're interested in finding out a little bit more about that, then hit up Wessex Cancer Trust online. You can still register for the chance to be part of this.
And the lovely people at Only Networking, they have sponsored the event. And it just sounds so lovely. It just sounds like a really pretty thing to do, especially now that we are properly in autumn. Mm. It just sort of hit at like 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, didn't it?
No, for me, it hit at 4 o'clock this morning when we had the heaviest downpour of rain I think I've heard in ages, and it woke me up. I haven't had that for a while.
Right, right. So fingers crossed that it stays dry for the Starlit Trail for them.
Yeah, good luck to everyone who's taking part in that, and of course our friends at Wessex Cancer Trust. So that's it for another So-So Show. Thank you very much for listening. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please tell a friend. Maybe share our Facebook post on your Facebook page, because the more, the merrier. We're really into bringing you stories of what's happening in Southampton and stuff that we've seen. So if you've got anything to contribute, anything you think that we should be talking about, please share that with us. And if you're not already following us on our social medias, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we're on Twitter as well. Have a great week, Zoe.
And you, Simon.